Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13, for the message this morning. I would like to read 8 verses. I'll begin in verse 1, and our text verse is the 8th verse. But I want to read what's before it, and because I'll be referring to a few things back in the earlier verses. But this is a great chapter. I would encourage you to read this chapter this afternoon and get the blessings out of it. There are so many wonderful little truths that are here in this 13th chapter of Hebrews. I've said to you before, but in order for you to understand the book of Hebrews, if you'll just memorize this little thing, it will help you to understand what the book of the Hebrews is all about. The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews to get the Hebrews to quit being Hebrews. Okay? And that's pretty much what it's all about. It's describing for you the Lord Jesus and how the Lord Jesus is better than anything Judaism had to offer. Judaism was looking forward to Christ coming and was filled with pictures and signs and allegories and types. But now that Christ has come, we've done away with all the pictures. You don't need a picture when you have the substance. All right, so the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews to get the Hebrews to quit being Hebrews. And that's basically what the book of Hebrews is all about. Now, in this 13th chapter, the writer of Hebrews gives us, and that's anonymous, we do not know what human instrument was used. We know it was written, of course, by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the writer of Hebrews gives us some wonderful little truths about Christianity. And in verse 1, he starts that advice. He said in verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now get that. If you've entertained an angel, it's been unawares. You did not know you were doing it. All right? So when you hear these people talk about entertaining angels, and knowing that it was an angel, No, you did not know. You entertained them unawares. In verse 3, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Boy, what a promise that is. How are you going to get lost from someone who said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee"? That's a great truth right there. And thank the Lord for that tremendous verse. Someone said, God has your back. Well, according to this verse, God has your front too. All right? You can trust that God, that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Just look at that verse. Look at that phrase. Read it backwards. All right? Read it backwards. And look at what he said. "Thee forsake not. Leave thee never. I will. Said hath he for. Man, God also has your front, folks. He not only has your back, he also has your front. We serve a great God. Look at verse 6. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ." Now here's the end of all of our preaching. Here's what it's all about. "Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever." I want to speak to you this morning on that subject, Jesus Christ, the same. What a wonderful Savior we serve. And here's a great truth that is given to us about our wonderful Savior, where we are told that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Are you familiar with the word immutable? Immutable, that's one of those great big old 50-cent words that basically just means unchanging. God is omniscient. That means he knows all. He's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. He is omnipresent. That means he's all places at the same time. And then he is immutable. And that word immutable means that he never changes. Now, you and I change, and I'm going to speak about that in just a moment. We all change. If someone says, well, I'm the same I've always been. No, that's retardation, my friend. That's not good. You don't want that. We change. We grow. We know more now than we knew last week. We experience more today than our experiences are more today than they were last week. We're to be constantly changing. But here we have a truth about the Lord Jesus, where the Bible says that he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you're perfect, that's fine. That's the way you should be. If you're perfect, you can't improve on anything. You and I are not perfect, so therefore we must be constantly improving. But here is a great truth concerning our Lord, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now let's pray, and then the message, Jesus Christ the same. Let's pray together. Our Father, how thankful we are for this great, great promise in the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the immutability of our Savior. And Lord, that we have a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, that has many implications to it. And I pray that, Lord, you will bless this morning as we consider some of the implications involved in this statement. Father, help us to realize the truth of the gospel, and help us to realize the truth that is represented in this statement. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to our hearts. Lord, I do not know the heart of every person in this room, but Lord, you do. And so I pray that, Father, you will use the message this morning to help each one of us realize our need of the Savior. And Father, if there is one person, even one, who is here today that does not know for sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, Lord, I pray that you will have liberty to move and work in that heart and draw that person to a saving knowledge of your dear Son. Lord, give us understanding of what we're about to hear. May we be encouraged. May we be strengthened. And Lord, may the Savior be lifted up. For it's in his name we pray and ask these things, and amen. You know, since the turn of the last century, there has been a number of changes that have taken place in the American way of life. I used to always be interested and amazed at hearing my grandfather talk about how life was back in the early part of the last century when he was growing up. My grandfather was born and raised in stereotypical West Virginia. And to hear all of those stories about how they used to survive the harsh, cold winters and how they had to deal with life without all the luxuries that we have today was always a fascinating thing. I enjoyed listening to those stories and hearing about raising the crops and harvesting the crops and putting up this and putting up that and canning this and killing the hogs and the cellar. I can remember that cellar. And my mother telling me to go to the cellar and get her this, or go to the cellar and get her that. And you always had to take a hoe with you, or a machete or something, because there were always snakes hanging around. I think that's why I have such a fear of snakes today, because I encountered more than I care to remember going down to that cellar as a 6 and 7 and 8 year old kid to retrieve something my mother wanted. And you go down, but when you got to the top of the step, you always gave a good look because usually there was some kind of a snake hanging out around the cellar door. And I can remember the potbelly stove that we have, and the wood-burning stove that was in the kitchen, and taking the lowering the face and putting the kindling in the stove so that Mom could cook dinner. And I remember all that. I remember the running water. That's what you ran down to the well house to get. Yeah, I remember that well. And at the time, just a little guy, I would go down and get a bucket full of water and be carrying it up to the house and spilling it, half of it, before I got to the house. But that was part of my responsibilities as a child. And we have today so much to be thankful for. All these modern conveniences today that, it seems that it would be impossible to live under conditions that our grandparents and sometimes our parents lived under. But today we have all these modern conveniences that help us out. We have electricity, we have natural gas, we have the telephone, we have air travel, we have our cars. I mean, there's so many things that we have today that make life so much easier. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for all the changes that have taken place in our nation, in our world, over the last 150 years. All these changes have brought about a vast difference and a vast improvement in the way or in the quality of life that we live today. World events tumble over each other with barely enough time to happen. You know, it's amazing. You turn on the news, and they come on with this news alert, and then about the time they get halfway through it, they have another news alert, and there's something else going on in the world, and so world events are just happening one on top of the other. A week old newspaper today is as out of date as a month-old paper was 50 years ago. And I was thinking about this last night. You know, I feel sorry for anybody who has to lecture on current events. You know, by the time he gets his speech prepared and finds some place to deliver it, his current events are already old news. But that's the world in which we live, ever-changing, constantly on the move. And in this fast-paced, fast-moving space age in which we live, folks everywhere are looking for something with permanence and something that will last. There are people today all over the world who are looking for something permanent in financial investments. Well, we've learned that, that's not exactly the best way to try and find permanence in anything. The dollar is constantly going up and down. The stock market is constantly up and down. And, you just never know from one day to the next if you've got a dime, if you've got it in the stock market. Did you see on the news just a couple of weeks ago all those folks that lost their savings in a bank out in Illinois, I believe it was. But all of a sudden the bank just closed up and they lost their money. And so you can't find security in financial investments. Others seek permanence through fame or, through being known and getting their name out there. But, the truth of the matter is most of us have already forgotten who won the World Series last year. Most of us will have to think about it to remember who won the Super Bowl last year. And they asked boys and girls in elementary school who was the first man on the moon. And the kids in school didn't know who the first man on the moon was. And all of us that were alive and watched that, we'd probably have to think about it for a few moments before we could come up with the answer. So fame is not the way to go. And then there are those that, multitudes of people who seek to escape the boredom of life through drugs and alcohol and through modern fads and following all these religious isms that are going around. But none of that seems to last. It doesn't seem to meet the need for permanence in our lives. I was reading about old Dr. Vance Havner, a great old preacher back in the last century. And he was a witty, witty old soul. And just could come out with things that just would astound you. And he was telling a story about this fellow that came up to him in a revival meeting where he was preaching. And the fellow came up and said, Dr. Havner said, I was born and raised a Baptist. He said, but then I got tired of that, so I became a Methodist. And he said, I got tired of the Methodist church, so I became a Presbyterian. And he said, now that I'm in my middle ages, he said, I'm planning to join the Congregationalist church. And thoughtfully, old Vance Havner looked at him and said, well, I don't think it does any harm to change the label on an empty bottle. And boy, you know, there are thousands and thousands, yea, millions of people who are millions of empty bottles today that are trying to fill themselves by changing the label. But folks, it's good to know that there is one thing that does not change. There is one thing, according to the Bible here, in the 8th verse of this 13th chapter of Hebrews, that does not change, and that is our wonderful, blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Folks, would you just think about this? The same Jesus, the same gospel that was good enough to save the Apostle Paul is the same gospel and the same Jesus who has saved those of us here this morning who know Christ as our personal Savior. Man, what a thought that is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the first thing I want to point out to you this morning, and probably be the only thing due to time, but what I want you to think about this morning is this the simplicity of this phrase, Jesus Christ the same. I want you just to think about that phrase with me this morning. First of all, have you ever thought of the seriousness of this phrase? The seriousness of this phrase. I want you just to consider something, folks. I want you to think about yourself for just a moment. I want you to think about us for just a moment. You know, we change all the time. We change all the time. First of all, your physical changes all the time. If you'll be honest about it, in most cases, there's a whole lot more of you today than there was 25, 30 years ago. All right, our physical changes. Last week was the first time that I've seen my sister since my 25th anniversary celebration here to church, which you all lied and deceived me over tremendously. But that's the first time I'd seen her since then. I've talked to her on the phone, but the first time I'd seen her, and she started to laugh about the second day we were there. She started to laugh a little bit, and I said, "What are you laughing at?" She said, "I figured that you would look a whole lot older, and you'd be a whole lot fatter than what you are." And I said, "Get over here and let me smack you. I don't have enough energy to walk over there, so walk over here and let me smack you." But our physical changes. I mean, you know, those eyes that were once quick and sharp now need glasses, and you still squint every time you go to look at something. Those ears that once heard everything now have trouble hearing anything. My kids accuse me of having what they call selective hearing. They say, "Dad, you hear what you want to hear." That's exactly right. That's the advantage of getting old. You get to choose what you listen to. And they were joking about it while we were on vacation. And one of them said, "Yeah, you can look him square in the face and talk to him, and he'll go, 'Huh?' But then you say something snide, critical, and say it under your breath, and he'll look at you and say, 'I heard that.'" Well, that's exactly the way all of us are. But then those joints, those joints, you know, they're just not what they used to be. You know, once you moved with quickness and agility, and now you ache and you crack and you get up in the morning and you lay there and figure, okay, what am I going to throw out of the bed first, you know? And it's rough. I mean, you know, our bodies are constantly changing. But not only are our bodies changing, hey, your financial security is constantly changing. You know, once those bills were met without much worry, but now adversity is a regular member in your household as you wonder if there's going to be enough money to make the ends meet. And so your financial security is constantly changing. It never stays the same. And folks, it's just a fact of life. I tell these young couples that come in for counseling that you're never going to have enough money. You're just never going to have enough. So there's no need fighting over it. There's no need fighting about it. You just got to live on what the Lord blesses you with and realize that He knows what you need, and He's promised to take care of your needs, and just realize it and trust in the Lord. Your family and your friends are constantly changing. I mean, let's just be real about it. Let's just be honest about it. You know, our friends and our families are constantly changing. Those that you enjoyed fellowship with maybe have kicked their heels against you now. Your own children may have turned against you over your church or over your relationship with the Lord or your desire to serve the Lord. And they may not see the need of serving the Lord, and therefore it has created a problem between you and your children or your loved ones. Or even more seriously, you enjoyed the fellowship of one who meant more than any earthly creature. But there came a day when the preacher said those familiar words, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And as one grave was closed, another was opened in your heart. And you realized as never before, that earthly relationships cannot and will not remain the same. But folks, I got some good news for you. Even though all around us is changing, even though we're changing, even though the world is changing, my text verse says that there is one who never changes. And that one that never changes is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Redeemer, who is your Savior, who is the one that died on the cross and gave His life so that you could have eternal life. And He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same forever, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. So have you thought of the seriousness of this verse? But then, have you ever thought of the comfort that is in these words? Oh, what comforting words these are. You know, since all of this is true, since everything is constantly changing, what comfort it is to turn to the one who never changes. You see, dear friend, your health may fail, but His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You see, your friends and family may oppose you, and they may turn their noses up at you, but Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy one day as he was nearing the end of his life, he said, Timothy, no man stood with me. Wouldn't that be a sad commentary to have to explain? Paul, who had preached and led so many people to Christ, Paul, who had been so faithful to God for all those years, and yet when he got down to the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, no man has stood with me. But then in the 17th verse, the very next verse, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me. And folks, He will stand by you. I don't care what transpires. I don't care what happens. You've got an eternal promise from an eternal God that your Savior will never, ever turn His back on you. He will stand with you. He will stand by you. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And you know, the good news is, even when death strikes, we have a promise from the Savior. He assures us, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Folks, listen, let God help you see that in this changing world, there is one that we can turn to who is as solid as a rock, for He is the rock of ages, you know, one who is as solid as a rock, and that Savior never, ever changes. You can trust Him. But then, go back to the verse. Look at it, please. Jesus Christ the same. And you'll notice that He says the same, what's the next word? Yesterday. That's a great thought. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. But then look at the next two phrases. He said yesterday and today and forever. You say, well, Pastor, why are you pointing that out? I want you to notice that eternity is represented on either side of the statement Christ today. Jesus Christ, the same today as He was yesterday, and the same as He will be tomorrow. And notice with me that eternity is represented on either side of Christ today. Hey, folks, understand this. The Lord Jesus did not begin with His birth in Bethlehem. Can I remind you that He was in a discussion with the Pharisees and the Sadducees one day, and He said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. You see, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's his immutability. He never changes. Now, you and I cannot say that, but thank God, Jesus can say that. He is the same. I want you to consider the Christ of yesterday. I want you just to think about the Christ of yesterday. He was born in another man's stable. He was buried in another man's tomb. He lived in a land just a little bit bigger than the eastern shore of Maryland. Not much. Never was he more than 100 miles from his home. He wrote no books, although he is the theme of the entire Bible. He led no army, even though this Bible tells us that he is the captain of our salvation. He gave his truths to a few plain fishermen and tax collectors. He went to the cross of Calvary, and on that cross he died, even though he did not deserve to die. You say, well, Pastor, if he didn't deserve to die, then why did he die? He died for you and for me. He willingly went to that cross and took your place and mine in death and took the wages of sin, which is death, and paid those wages in full. So on the cross, he died a criminal's death. The amazing thing is that when he died, they took him down from the cross and they wrapped him in grave clothes and put him in this borrowed tomb that I had mentioned just a moment ago. But on the third day, just as he said he would, he came out of that tomb. Death could not keep him in the grave. The stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out. He had already resurrected. The stone was rolled away to let the disciples in so that they could see that he had honored his word and had done what he said he was going to do. And then he gathered those disciples around him before he went back to heaven. And he gave his disciples this gospel that he delivered unto us. He gave to his disciples the gospel and then gave them the power to go out and preach that gospel. And when they did what he told them to do, they turned the world upside down. I mean, shook the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For he gave them himself and he gave them eternal life. Someone asked me, my nephew asked me just this week, said, Uncle Norris said, he called me Uncle Norris. You better not call me Uncle Norris. I'm not your uncle. He said, I'm your pastor. Call me pastor, all right? But I know I had to say that because I know inevitably some of you are going to call me Uncle Norris now, and I'm going to smack you if you do. I'm going to smack you in Christian love, but I'm going to smack you, so don't call me Uncle Norris. But I was just asked this week by him, he said, well, where'd all this church stuff start? And I said, that's easy. It started with Jesus. Amen. I mean, the Lord was the one that gave us the church. Hey, folks, he said to the disciples, I will build my what? Church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, the one who was eternal life gave eternal life to the disciples, and the church was started. The church began, and the church has just continued on. Yes, there's been some dark days in the church. We're living in a dark day of the church right now. I mean, the devil has done all he could to destroy the church and to keep that light of the gospel from shining. But thank God there are still believers that hold up the word of God, still believers that that believe the gospel is the only way for salvation, and they still proclaim the message of Christ, and that church has just continued right along until here we are today. And folks, here's the point I want to make. Jesus Christ the same. Do you realize, dear friend, that the same gospel that we preach today is the gospel that was preached by the disciples in the book of Acts? Do you realize that the way to God, the way to salvation, is the same way today as it was in the first century? We have a commission to declare the word of God, the gospel of God, and to tell a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. And here we have a promise that when we do it, the same Jesus that was with them is going to be with us, and he will continue to be with us for as long as eternity rolls. Folks, we just have to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ and just do what God wants us to do. You know, I read a report while I was gone, and it was talking about how that nationally, I mean across the country, that church attendance is down some 17%. Church attendance. You know, everybody said when 9/11 happened that was a wake-up call to America. Well, if it was a wake-up call, we just rolled over and hit the snooze button. That's about all we did. America didn't wake up when 9/11 happened. I'm telling you, folks, we have gotten so comfortable and we have gotten so at ease and we have let the economy impact us. This same report said that church giving is down 28%. Attendance is down 17%, and church giving, tithing, and offerings are down on a national average about 28%. And so you know, we can't let the economy dictate how we serve the Lord. Hey, folks, listen, I know it's tough. It's tough on everybody. But hey, listen, we have a commission from the Word of God, and this same gospel that was given by Jesus is the gospel that we use today. We must realize that the promise that Jesus was with them, hey, they had a much more difficult time than any of us are having. The Lord was with them. The Lord blessed them. Let's just do what we're supposed to do. Let's just continue to win souls and continue to preach the truth. Let's just continue to pass out those tracts. Let's just continue to train soul winners. Let's just keep on doing what we're supposed to do with the promise that our blessed Savior, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will be with us just as He has always been. Amen. What a great Savior we serve. Amen. So friends, you may be here today, and you may not have anything upon which to base your salvation. I urge you this morning to realize that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord as your Savior. I mean, I urge you this morning to trust in the Savior who has not changed one bit since He established His church. I urge you this morning to realize that it's not the church that saves you. It is the immutable Savior who does the saving. Jesus Christ is still doing today what He came here to do 2,000 years ago in the first place, and that is He is still seeking and saving that which is lost. And we need to realize our relationship and where we stand. You know, I don't think we've got much longer. I'm going to be honest with you. I hope we don't have much longer. I mean, the thought of my grandchildren having to grow up in this wicked old world, it just scares me. The devil is just has got a stranglehold on our nation today, and I think that we're living on borrowed time. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. However, I believe that we're living on borrowed time, and we got to promise, folks, that Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back and we see Him face to face, we're going to see that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you need to realize that church is not what saves you. You need to realize that coming to church is not what saves you. You need to realize that tank of water back there is not what saves you. You need to realize that when that plate goes around in the where we take the offering and you throw in your check into that offering plate, that is not what saves you. There is only one thing that can save a man's soul, and that one thing is the precious gospel that is just like the Savior who gave it. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my Bible says that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So church can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Communion can't save you. The girl sung a moment ago about the communion service and about the cup. But my friend, listen, taking a drink out of that cup and eating that little cracker is not going to save your soul. There is one thing that saves, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Same gospel today that they had back then. And we need to think about how does that impact me. Now let me ask you, dear friend, do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? I mean, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? You say, well, Pastor, I'm pretty sure I'd go to heaven. I don't like pretty sure. I like absolutely sure. Are you absolutely sure that you're saved? You say, you mean a person can know that? Yes, a person can know that. John said, these things write we unto you. What's that? That's this book right here. These things write we unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. Yes, you can know that you're saved. Everybody just look right here a minute. I know that I'm saved. You say, what are you basing that on? I'm basing that upon the Word of God. I know in whom I have believed. And if you're here today and you don't know that, dear friend, listen, you need the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You say, well, Pastor, how do I receive Him? It's very simple. You get saved by faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You get saved by faith. You say, well, how do you do that? All right, let me show you how simple it is. You walked in here this morning, and when you came in the building, you went to your assigned seat. Yeah, you all sit in the same spots. You went to your assigned seat, and you just plopped yourself down. I watched, and when you came in, when some of you came in, there was not a one of you that got on your knees and looked at the legs of that pew and shook it to make sure that it would hold you up. You had faith in that pew that it would hold you up. I didn't see anybody come along and stop where they sit and reach out and grab a hold of the pew and shake it to make sure it was sturdy. No, sir, you believed. Whether it was subconscious or not, you believed that that pew would hold you up. You were sitting there thinking, well, you know, it's held me up for years. You were sitting there thinking, it's held others up. It will certainly hold me up. And my friend, that's exactly the way you ought to look at your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you've got a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He was able to save the Apostle Paul, you bet your boots He is able to save you. If He was able to save an old cussing guy like Peter, He could certainly save you. If He could save James, He certainly could save you. If He could save me, He certainly could save you. Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, think about it. This is the Jesus that saved Larry Stainer. Right. Man, if He can save old Stainer, He can certainly save you, can He not? And so you just put your faith in. You just say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to sit down in Your arms and let You be my Savior. And you'll find out that He indeed is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like He saved Paul, and just like He saved Peter, and just like He saved James, and millions of others, He can save you. Do you know Him this morning as your Savior? I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around. I want you just to sit here for a moment, and I want you to think about what you've heard. My friend, you need the Lord today. I want you to ask yourself this question. If I died today, do I know for sure that I'd go to heaven? If something were to happen to me and I were to die today, do I know for sure that I'd go to heaven? Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many of you here this morning will say, Preacher, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that. My faith is in the Lord, and He is my Savior. Would you lift your hand and testify that you know Christ is your Savior? You say, Pastor, I know in whom I have believed. There is absolutely no doubt. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Lift your hand and hold it up and testify. Amen, amen. What a wonderful sight that is. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now our heads are still bowed, our eyes are closed. As I looked around the room, that looked like everybody to me. I could have missed someone. So let me ask this. Is there somebody here today that will say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure. I know I need the Lord. I know that I need the Lord. I mean, I understand that. And Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else just a minute ago, but I'll raise it right now and ask you, Pastor, please pray for me. I need the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up right now and let me pray for you? Just raise your hand and hold it up where I can see it. And let me pray and ask God to speak to your heart this morning. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But could I pray for you? Just lift your hand. Is there one? Pastor, I'm not sure, but I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? All right, I do not see a hand. Let me ask this. How many of you here who are saved will say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm not living for the Lord like I should. And God is speaking to my heart this morning. I have some things I need to deal with God about. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, Christian, and let me pray for you? Yes, many hands. God bless you, folks. Amen. Good, good, good. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, listen, those of you that raised your hand, maybe God's dealing with you about joining the fellowship of the church. Why don't you come this morning and join the fellowship of this church? Let's get busy doing something for the Lord. Folks, listen, the economy may be a mess, and the world may be a mess, and the government may be a mess, and society may be a mess. But hey, listen, let's serve the Lord with a glad heart. We serve a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a mess. Let's lose ourselves in our relationship with Him and let God bless and do some wonderful things through us and in us. With our heads bowed, let's pray together. Our Father, thank You so much for the power of prayer. And Lord, I want to pray that You will speak to hearts this morning. Lord, I do not know the heart condition of every person in here. I'm not sure, Lord, but in a crowd this size, there's certainly somebody that needs to be saved. Lord, would You speak to that heart this morning? And then, Lord, I want to pray for these that raised their hand who said, I know I'm saved, but but I got some things that I need to deal with in my life. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to their hearts. And Lord, just give us a conviction that, Lord, we know has to come from the Holy Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God is drawing us into a better, closer relationship with the Savior. Father, speak to hearts. I pray that folks will be obedient and do what the Lord is leading them to do this morning. Lord, may folks make decisions for the cause of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.